You are listening to Love and War with David Harwood. Today, I want to speak about the new command that Jesus gave on the night he was betrayed. Before we do, I want to back up and go to Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39, where we discover what Jesus said is most important to God. Someone came up to him and said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the Torah?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I find this to be interesting. Neither the quote from Deuteronomy 6 or the quote from Leviticus 19 are in the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are important. In Matthew 19, it says, someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus quotes part of the Ten Commandments. "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, this is quite amazing. Here, we see that Jesus elevated this positive commandment to the same level as honor your father and mother. What positive commandment? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The command to love our neighbor is not in the Ten Commandments. It's not in the Decalogue. But Jesus really wants the heart behind the commandments to be active. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 is not in the Ten Commandments either. "You shall love the Lord your God" gives heart to the beginning of the Ten Commandments. Loving your neighbor gives heart to the second part of the Ten Commandments. The command to love our neighbor is found in Leviticus, Leviticus 19, verses 17 to 18. "You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart, but you may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, we're to note that this commandment has to do with actual relationships. This has to do with the type of relationships that can suffer offense, relationships that can do harm. These things can incur bitterness and provoke someone to withhold kindness. But the Lord Jesus, the way that he spoke of the two great commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves, he wants us to excel in loving God and loving one another. Now, this is part of our discipleship, and it is part of the goal that we are to have in discipling others. In Colossians 1:28, Paul wrote, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in the Messiah." And part of proclaiming Jesus is to tell others what is important to Jesus. Our admonishment, our encouragement to love one another comes out of Jesus's priorities. He commands us to do this, and this is very important to him. In John 13:34, the night when Jesus was betrayed, he said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Later, in John 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." And again, in John 15, he said, "This I command you, that you love one another." Now, this is not neighbor love. This is not the type of love that we're commanded to embrace towards our neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not neighbor love. This is the community within the neighborhood. Within the neighborhood, there are these disciples of the Lord Jesus who are known to one another, and believers are to excel in prioritizing their affectionate regard and loving loyalty towards the brethren to the degree that if someone looks at it, they would say, now those people, they love one another just like they believe that Jesus loves them. Now Peter, Paul, and John echoed Jesus' commandment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter wrote, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, we read the words of the Apostle John, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The apostles stressed love because Jesus gave us a new command. It is very important. This new commandment is very important. Jesus gave it to his disciples on the night that he was betrayed. It's less than 24 hours before he is going to be crucified. He's telling his disciples that which is close to his heart. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is really important. It is important to the degree that John wrote that this command is on the same level as saving faith. 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, one command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus the Messiah, and love one another just as he commanded us. One command, to believe in Jesus and love one another as he commanded us. This is one command. Now, I want to mention that from my early experience as a believer, this commandment that was so important to Jesus, that was so important to his primary disciples, in which the church was discipled and by which the church was known, was not stressed. As a young believer, what did I find that was stressed? Well, I found that truth was stressed, a right doctrine was stressed. I found that commitment to a community of believers or to a church was stressed, service was stressed, evangelism was stressed, the development of character, very, very stressed. What was not stressed? Well, that we were to love one another as Jesus loved us. This is not generally found within the framework of discipleship 101 type manuals. We do not find this commandment stressed in the church. And I think that when we take a look at things from a distance, see the church objectively, or look at our own lives objectively, we can see that perhaps this commandment is not stressed in our lives or in the lives of the churches. Other things are stressed. But Jesus stressed this. Now, we're told that agape, that love is not an emotion, and that the proof of this is that we're commanded to love, and you cannot command someone to have an emotion. And yet, we're also commanded to not have certain emotions, like bitterness or rage or lust, and nobody argues with the prohibitions. If we can be commanded to not have a negative emotion, why can't we be commanded to have a positive emotion? And in fact, we are. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And like that, we're called to love our neighbor. And in a more focused way, we're called to love the believing community, to love other believers like Jesus loved us. So how do we know if we are obedient to the Lord who told us to love one another? Well, he's given us a checklist through the Apostle Paul. We have the 1 Corinthians 13 checklist. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 10, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Here comes the checklist. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Now, what people try to tell us is that if we are patient, then we are fulfilling the commandment to love. But actually, if we are fulfilling the command to love, we will be patient. Love is patient. Patience is not love. You can walk into a store, a retail store, and find a sales clerk that is patient. You can find people who are all about enriching themselves at your expense, and they'll be patient. They'll even be kind. They will even act in a way which is appropriate for the moment. But it's not because they care about you. And what the church has sought to do is disciple people to be a strongly empowered in our character, to be strongly empowered in our character, to be people who are able to determine to be patient, to determine to be kind, to determine to be humble. But the reality is that what the checklist is saying is that to the degree we love, to the degree that we are obeying the commandment of Jesus to love, to the degree we love others, we will be patient with them. To the degree we love others, we will be kind. To the degree we love others, we will be humble. To the degree we love others, we shall not be provoked or take into account the wrongs done to us. To the degree we love, we shall rejoice in the truth, put up with every imposition, believe the best, expect the best, and persevere to the degree that we love. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a call to put our willpower in gear, but to see the degree we actually love. You see, people say love is a decision. Love, dear ones, is not a decision, but love makes decisions. Love is not action, but love acts. And the more genuine the love, the greater the decisive acts. But you see, here's something which I want to stress. 1 Corinthians 13 is not the gold standard of love. It's not the highest checklist. This is 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, this requires heart work. It requires truth and humility. It is really an impossible command. However, in light of the new covenant, we can have this law written in our hearts. We need the activity of the Spirit to enable us to obey this word. And this way of life is important. Jesus stressed it. Jesus gave us this new command that we would love one another just like he loves us. In fact, God teaches us to love one another from the beginning of our relationship with him. 1 Thessalonians 4:9-12. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. We're taught by God himself to love one another. Now, one of the things that I want to encourage us in is that this can come in response to prayer. There are two places we find an encouragement for love to grow, and those two places are in the context of prayer. Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Messiah Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of the Messiah, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus the Messiah, to the glory and praise of God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, Paul wrote, "Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Note that these two prayers for love, that these verses are within the context of the final judgment. As we grow in love by the power of the Holy Spirit, really caring about the people around us, not just acting like we care, but caring to the degree that we act upon our care, to that degree, we will also be found to be totally approved at the judgment seat of the Messiah. And this really is the will of God for us. Take a look again, if you have a Bible, to this these verses in Philippians 1, verses 8 through 11, and 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11, 13. It's the will of God for us to love one another. It's connected to the last judgment. He calls us to be sincere, blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness, having established hearts without blame and holy. Our love for one another establishes the environment of heaven within the framework of the believing community. When we love one another like Jesus loves us, I want to tell you something, that's the social environment where he wants to be, and it is where he wants you to be, and it is what he wants to represent him to the world. It is what he wants others to see. Therefore, as Paul wrote, let's proclaim him. Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in the Messiah. Spiritual maturity can be measured by the degree of our faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Loving God and one another is the ultimate measure of our spiritual maturity. So let us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, to live his love through us. You have been listening to Love and War. I'm David Harwood. If you want to be in contact with me, please write me at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. To the degree that you found this message, this podcast, to be edifying, please share it with others, and God willing, we'll have another one for you next week.